This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello everyone, I am Matt Williamson. How you doing? Beautiful weekend here. Hope everyone had a good one. We're going to talk a little Steelers schedule stuff. How about that? So, this upcoming year, I got some more details I think you're going to... but that might be a extreme. You're going to be fine. You'll find interesting. So, first of all, the AFC teams, there's 17 games. I think you guys know that. Eight of them are home for the AFC teams this year. Nine on the road. That flops every year. The schedule creators are smart. Anyway, so it's a tough year for the Steelers in general in that they have one more road game than they do home game. Obviously, that's true for everyone in the division and everyone in the conference. The Steelers also play the AFC West this year. Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, Broncos. Frankly, I think the Raiders and Broncos are going to be horrendous and the Chargers are going to be bad. The Chiefs are great. And the NFC East, Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, Commanders. Giants and Commanders don't look very daunting. Cowboys took a step back, it sure looks like. Now, what we don't know, of course, is when these games will take place. But we do know against who, and we do know where. So at home, the Steelers will play the Ravens, the Bengals, the Browns. Of course, but that's no walk in the park. They will also at home play the Cowboys, Chiefs, good, Chargers, Giants, and Jets. On the road, the team will also face Baltimore, Cincy, and Cleveland, of course. On the road, they play the Falcons. They go to Denver. That's one to keep an eye on. I really hope that's not one of the first 2 weeks of the year because fatigue sets in very quick in the high air of Denver early in the season. They also go to Indy, Vegas. Bet some of you will be there. Philly, which they never win at, by the way, and Washington. So that's what we know about the schedule. Okay, probably a lot of you are like, I kind of already knew that, Matt. I mean, like, what's this information came out a little while ago. However, what is new information is strength of schedule. Now, this made me insane for years. But strength of schedule generally used to be, well, let's figure out everyone's winning percentage from last year. You know how fast the NFL changes from year to year? Like playing the Jets last year without Aaron Rodgers is a heck of a lot different than if you get him on opening day this year with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, last year's win percentages for this exercise, strength of schedule, is so unbelievably meaningless that I can't believe it took people as long as it did to come up with a better method. But Warren Sharp did. He's very good at what he does. Sharp is an analytic stud. He is a heavy betting guy. That's his background. And he does really well. And I listen to his podcasts. I subscribe to his site. I bet him a few times. He's really, really good. But wisely, Sharp came up with this idea for strength of schedule, which doesn't become available until about this time of year and will slightly change after the draft and as trades are made. Like, for example, when Stephon Diggs got traded from the Bills to the Texans, the Bills went down, the Texans went up. And what I'm referring to is forecasted win totals from Vegas. So hypothetically, I think the Steelers are right around 8.5 or 9. If you were to bet in Vegas, that's their line. So all those teams I mentioned to play the Steelers are scheduled to play a 8.5 or 9 win team. If the Patriots are the worst in the league and they have a 4-win projection in Vegas, well, that makes your schedule a lot easier if you play New England, for example. Or if Kansas City's is at 14. I mean, I'm talking about extremes. Well, that makes it really, really difficult. So with that information, Warren puts together who has the easiest and strongest strengths of schedule based on your opponent's projected win totals. People in Vegas know a thing or two. And they do slightly change. I mean, the draft will influence it a little up until opening day. So, strangely, looking at the division, the Bengals have the 6th easiest schedule in the league. The only people easier than Cincinnati are New Orleans, the Jets, the Bears, and then the Chargers and Falcons have, like, by far the easiest schedule in the league. Now, they came in 4th, so their last place opponents are going to be a little easier than the other teams, but they still play the rest of the division. So, also within the division, the Ravens have the 29th easiest schedule, or 4th hardest, if you want. The Browns have the 3rd hardest schedule. And what you've been waiting for, the Steelers have the hardest schedule in the league. And it's pretty clear. I mean, the New England has the 31st easiest schedule. So the 4 hardest schedules in the league are the Steelers at 1, the Patriots at 2, the Browns at 3, and then a little gap with the Ravens. Part of me wants to put a buck down that the Patriots end up with the 1st overall pick in the draft. But that aside, your Steelers, a lot of it based on Chiefs, Eagles, Cowboys, the division, 6 division games, has by projected win totals the most difficult schedule in the entire league. I was a little shocked by that, you know, because I didn't know those names of the teams they're playing, but maybe the Jets are supposed to be a lot better. The Colts should be a lot better, you know? I mean, and there aren't any layup games, really. I mean, you would think you beat the Raiders. It's in their building. You'd think you beat Denver. It's in their building. Washington and the Giants. Okay. But there's not a lot of layups. So I guess that's where it really comes down to the Steelers having the hardest schedule in the entire league. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs. With in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use promo code BLEAV, capital B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, hope that's not too discouraging news about the Steelers' schedule being the most difficult in the league. And again, it'll change a little. But it's not going to be the 20th easiest. Maybe it'll be the 30th or something like that after the draft, after some quarterbacks land, maybe a trade or two. But brutal, you know. But that's not uncommon for AFC North / Steelers. I also think with one thing that matters in that equation, too, is every other team in the division is projected to win more games than the Steelers. So it helps Cincy that they're playing the Steelers more than it helps the Steelers that they're playing Cincy. You see what I'm saying? But Steelers also were very successful in the division. One little thing I want to throw out there that is nerdy, but there's been so much center talk, Steelers center position, that here's one little thing I want you to consider. So fifth-year options. They're a good thing. They're not a wonderful thing. They're not as team-friendly as people think or that they used to be, very honestly. So the Steelers are likely going to pick up Najee Harris's fifth-year option, and that's going to cost them, I think, $6.6 million. Okay, running backs are cheap. That's a nice perk for taking a running back in the first round because that fifth-year option isn't really that nasty. You know, it's like, if he's a pretty solid player, like Najee, but not a superstar, I'll tack on one more year's contract at 6.6. That's not bad. Okay, cool. Well, there is some issues that the NFL, I think, just screwed up, to be honest with you. If you are picking up an offensive lineman's fifth-year option, and that's where they screw up, it should be tackles versus interior, because those guys are paid very differently. Although interior offensive line contracts, et cetera, are going up like crazy, especially this past offseason. So if you are to pick up an interior offensive lineman's fifth year option, it's the same as a tackle. So any offensive lineman, and I should have this in front of me, but I'm almost sure this year that number is around 18 million. Way different than the Najee number. Now, again, that's 4 years down the road. But what I'm saying here is if the Steelers were to take JPJ or Barton in the first 32 picks, no matter where you pick, chances are you're not going to pick up their fifth-year option, even if they're great. You know what I mean? Like, back to Najee. People kill the Steelers for, should have taken Creed Humphrey there, you know? Okay, that's a great argument. But would you be picking up Creed Humphrey's fifth-year option now for tackle money and making him like the highest-paid center in the league? Maybe, but he's also one of the best centers in the league, but you're paying him tackle money. Tyler Linderbaum from the Ravens. So mid-first-round pick. I think he's their best lineman. I think he's been tremendous for them. But it's going to be a difficult discussion to pick up his fifth-year option or not. So what I'm saying is if you were to draft a center in the first round, the first couple years don't matter, of course, but it gets to fifth-year option time really quick. You know, like next year, are the Eagles going to pick up Kenny Pickett's fifth-year option? I mean, that they have to make that decision 1 year from now. Stuff happens quick in the league. Chances are if you really do draft an interior offensive lineman, the fifth-year option is basically off the table. I mean, you'd have to be Webby, Dirt, Pouncey. You know what I mean? Like, you really have to be awesome, like a Linderbaum or a Creed Humphrey, to even consider it. So it's a dumb loophole in the fifth-year option situation in the league that maybe they'll switch next collective bargaining agreement, but doesn't help the Steelers. So keep that in mind when a team, particularly your Steelers, would use a first-round pick on a center or guard. Because people like to say, well, yeah, we got that guy for 5 years all locked up. Kinda, but not really. You know, I mean, that's one of the benefits of a tackle, because if a tackle goes on the open market, like Chukwuemeka Okorafor isn't great, but he got money. A year from now, if Dan Moore's on the open market, he's gonna get money. I mean, just tackles don't grow on trees. So Broderick Jones, when his fifth year option comes up, if he's the 20th best tackle in the league or the 30th best tackle in the league, it's good, not great, you know. You still probably pick it up because it's cost effective. But if you draft a center and he's the 8th best center in the league, you probably don't. So just something to think about. And trust me, front offices and Omar Khan are all over this. Over and out. Take care.